Grace, mercy, and peace be to you, through the knowledge of God our Father, and through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today is found recorded in John 8, verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So far the text. Christ Jesus, our Savior, dear Christian friends, whenever we gather for various events here at St. Paul in our church basement fellowship area downstairs for meetings, study classes, potlucks, and such, we cannot help but notice the assortment of decorative tapestries hanging on the walls. I understand that the impetus for putting up these tapestries shortly after this church was built was in order to provide something that would reduce echoes in the church fellowship hall during gatherings that are held there. Besides serving as sound absorption devices, another benefit we derive, an even more important benefit from the tapestries, is that they preach silent sermons to us whenever we view them and ponder the verses displayed on them. And it is our intention during a number of the remaining summer Sundays here at St. Paul to talk about these Bible verses and Bible illustrations displayed on our tapestries, from which we may derive rich gospel comfort and spiritual edification. Tapestries we want to zero on today are the ones reproduced on the front cover of your bulletin and on the bottom of the last page, which highlight the words of Jesus from our text. As we consider the words of the Lord, let us all be encouraged to praise God for the marvelous, life-giving light of Christ that he has shined on us in this blanketed in deathly darkness world. We speak about deathly darkness. What are we talking about? What was Jesus referring to in our text when he presented himself as the light of the world to the people walking in the darkness? Of course, he was talking about the dark condition of heart and mind which all people by nature are blanketed in, so that they have no understanding of the true nature of sin and what its wages is, death in hell. We have no appreciation for what our holy and righteous God, who is also a God of indescribable grace and mercy, what he did to rescue our sin-fallen world. They're unable to value properly the message of salvation, forgiveness of sins, in Jesus Christ, God's Son, and they have no desire to praise him, live for him, or serve him in thankful love. The instigator of this deathly darkness in which all people by nature are hopelessly steeped and blanketed, and let's be mindful, dear friends, that we too at one time were steeped in that darkness. Its originator and mastermind, of course, is the Prince of Darkness. He plunged the world into darkness when he induced Adam and Eve to sin against God in Eden. Ever since that fateful day long ago, as Isaiah the prophet writes, darkness covers the earth. Thick darkness is over the peoples. Satan, from the very beginning of the entrance of sin into the world, puts blinders over unbelievers' eyes, distorting, jumbling, muddling, discombobulating their thinking, stripping them of the ability to understand and to seek God. Paul writes in Romans, quoting from a psalm, they have turned away. They have together become worthless. There's no one who does good. Not even one. Another way to describe this deathly darkness in which all people by nature are born in, unbelievers live, and again, which we also used to be in, is that they have a Weltanschauung. That's an English word that comes from two German words, Welt, which means world, and Anschauung, which means view or perception. They have a view or perception of the world to unbelievers, which causes them to live only for the here and now, and they order their lives according to what their sin-darkened hearts prompt them to do. Immersed, saturated, filled, and permeated with that deep, deathly, spiritual darkness. They don't have any concept of the sanctity of human life, what Holy Scripture says about that, including the value of the unborn, which leads them to view abortion as something good, and the overturning of the Roe v. Wade decision recently by the Supreme Court as something bad. They have the idea that there are not just two sexes, male and female, but many. And what the Lord God did in the beginning, when the Bible says He created man in His image, male and female, He created them, they view as a fanciful myth. Their minds being warped by the father of lies, they view things that God calls noble and admirable, like marriage between a man and a woman, and the nuclear family, as bad, and things that God condemns as evil, as good. All those fruits, bitter fruits of darkness that were enumerated in our epistle lesson. They regard people who have a different Weltanschauung, Christians, that is heaven-centered, who endeavor to live their lives as the pilgrims that they are, passing through on the way to the real home, who want to glorify God in their lives and live for His praise, who seek to avoid evil, pray for God's forgiveness when they make mistakes, when they sin, as crazies. They think that you're crazy for having a heaven-centered, God-centered, Christ-serving manner of life, viewing that as detrimental to society, something bad. Of course, Satan's end game, the prince of darkness, his chief objective, what he's really after, is to keep people away from the light of Christ, that they will one day be cast into what's called in the Bible outer darkness, a description of the abode of the damned, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. He, the devil, blinds the minds of unbelievers, writes Paul in Corinthians, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. Recall also the parable of Jesus of the sower and the seed, in which the Lord spoke about the seed of His word being sown into hearts, and what happens to the one kind of ground, the devil, like a bird, plucking out the seed right away from the ground, plucks out the seed of the word from their ears and hearts so that they do not believe, and they do not find forgiveness and salvation in Christ. No wonder the Bible calls the devil the prince of darkness and a murderer from the beginning. Dear friends, once again, that's the darkness that we by nature also were blanketed in and destined for. And this is the darkness that Christ has rescued us from in His Savior love. It's what the Father sent His Son to do, to lead us out of the deathly darkness and into His marvelous light. That's the good news message that's on those two tapestries downstairs. Our text, John 8:12, I am the light of the world, says Jesus. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. There's a prophecy in Isaiah, matches well and meshes with this sermon text. I'd like to share it. It reads like this from Isaiah chapter 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. So Isaiah was prophesying that just as when Jesus appeared on earth and he went about his ministry, conducting his work as the Savior and told people the message of repentance and remission of sins in his name, the kingdom of heaven is near, and many were led to put their trust in him, prophecy was fulfilled. So too it continues to be fulfilled wherever the gospel message of Jesus is proclaimed and souls like you brought to faith. And the message of repentance and remission of sins is proclaimed, blessed by the Holy Spirit with a steadfast hope, an eternal hope in Jesus. When you sing with a faith-filled heart and with great joy, as you will in a few moments, beautiful Savior, King of creation, Son of God and Son of man, truly I'd love thee, truly I'd serve thee, light of my soul, my joy, my crown. Fair is the sunshine, fair is the moonlight, bright the sparkling stars on high, but Jesus shines brighter, Jesus shines purer than all the angels in the sky. Glory and honor, praise, adoration, now and forevermore be thine. Are you able to have that trust and that faith and sing that hymn and others like it with joy in your heart? Praise to God. The prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, has been fulfilled. Other prophecies, my friends, that come to mind that are being fulfilled similarly, and again, see yourself in the picture. Isaiah 9:2, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and those in the land of the shadow of death, upon them the light has dawned. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, another beauty of a passage. God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light, spiritual light, of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus also enables us, my friends, he who is the light of the world and the light of our souls, as people whom he's rescued from the devil's dominion of darkness and brought into his kingdom of light, to keep on walking as people of the light, as the Bible encourages us to do in many places, again in our epistle lesson. It's people who have that heavenly Welt Anschauung that we spoke about earlier, that we seek to be imitators of God as dearly loved children and live a life of love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. To walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what's acceptable to the Lord, and to have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them, continuing to call what God calls a sin for which Jesus, of course, gave his life on the cross. And to pray, again, thinking, remembering that we are pilgrims passing through on our way to our real home, Lord, send out your light and your truth and let them continue to lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill, finally, and then to your tabernacle. Make me to walk in your commands. 'Tis a delightful road, nor let my head or heart or hands offend against my God, serving him in love, walking in holiness to the praise of Jesus. And to keep in mind, again, as Christian pilgrims, that just as plants need light for growth so they can survive, that we do need that light of our Savior, of his word and of his sacraments all throughout our days of pilgrimage. And finally, he will lead us safely to the light of heaven. So, dear friends, praise God. Praise God for all his gracious gifts in Jesus given to you by grace. Praise him that just as he led the Israelites in the Sinai desert all those 40 years by a pillar of fire and light to guide them, so he will steadfastly lead you by the light of Christ and his bright word, which is a lamp to our feet and light for our path all the way home. In closing, I'd like to leave this thought with you, that when you finally arrive at the goal of your faith, when you are there, darkness will be gone completely. The sun will be no more, nor will the brightness of the moon shine, the Bible says. The Lord will be your everlasting light. Your God will be your glory, and your days of sorrow in this sin-darkened world right now will be over. It's in Isaiah 60. In the last book of the Bible, Revelation, the city of God, heaven, will not need the sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God will give it light, and the Lamb, Christ, will be its light. They will not, we will not need the light of a lamp or light of the sun, for the Lord God will give us light, and we will reign forever and ever. Oh, that we were already there. And in the meantime, God grant us grace to follow steadfastly in faith our Christ-like till he brings us safely there. Amen. And this peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.